Vietnamese group is, there's a few thousand Vietnamese people, and they're in a certain segment of Worcester. And I pastored the Vietnamese Assembly of God Church for a couple of years as interim and worked with them. They all grouped together. So think about it for a moment when James is writing, but he's writing to you and me. Because you see, the living word of God is not just for somebody then, it's for us now. So we want to be able to look at this and say, Lord, speak to my heart and help me catch what is here in James chapter 1. And it is believed, I think you probably know this, but it is believed that James was a brother of Jesus Christ. And in my Bible, the one that I'm reading for you today, it says, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I could stay right there and talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus lived when the Bible tells us he lived. But that does not make him Lord to you. There's a difference between being the Lord Jesus Christ as a historical fact and a reality in our lives. Now, the key factor that I want to share with you that is so important is the Lord Jesus Christ. If I could help the people of this world catch a picture and a glimpse of how good it is to let Jesus be Lord of my life. If I could help the world to get the vision of letting Jesus be Lord, their lives would be transformed and changed, and we would have a world that you would not be able to believe. You would have heaven on earth. Because the life that Jesus is trying to help us discover is a life that only can be found when you allow him to come into the throne room of your heart and be your Lord. In other words, be your boss, be your controller. I said to my daughters one time, we have four daughters, and I said, you know, in the Bible days, the father picked out the husband for the daughter. The father had the authority to go and pick out the husband for the daughter. And I got looks like, I don't know if I go for that at all. I want to pick out my own husband, you know. I'm not sure I'm going to buy that at all. I said, now wait a minute. You got to get the picture. On this earth, your father, myself, your father loves you more than anybody on this earth could love you, mother and dad. But I'm talking about father. Now, because I love you with everything inside of me because you're my child, do you think I would pick somebody that would not be good for you? And I'm your father? Come on. Think about it. So when you start dating, make sure I get a chance to check them out. All right? And I did check them out. All right. We have four daughters, four sons-in-laws, 12 grandchildren, we're blessed. And they're all living for Jesus, and I am blessed. I am blessed. Because all through their life, all through our life, and the lovely lady that I'm married to is here, our lives, we have been able to say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord. That doesn't make me perfect. It doesn't mean I've arrived and done everything right. But Jesus, I really want you to be Lord of my life. Now, that's so easy to say, all right? That's so easy to say, but listen. When a circumstance as we faced it come into our lives, when we have to face a problem, if Jesus is Lord, we say, Lord, how do you want me to answer that? How do you want me to react? And we've lived a public life for so many years that you do occasionally have a negative happening in your life. I've only had my life threatened once, and that I thought wasn't that bad, really, but only once. And I've had a few people that didn't like me for whatever reasons, and I had no idea, but I tried to be as kind and loving even in the reaction. But what really made the mark to my children that I remembered is they were old enough as teenagers to know the criticism or know the negativism, and they were able to watch their mother and father, who are not perfect, we don't claim to be, but how we were able to react to the circumstance. How would Jesus want us to react to this negative encounter? And as they saw that, God became real in the house as well as in the church. Okay? It's a house as well as the church. Just the other day, a man had to come to my daughter's home where we are presently staying for another week, and had to put in a new septic system, big leach field thing, $15,000 system. And I just met him, said hello to him, and he went out and did whatever he had to do, and occasionally he'd take a break. And of course, you know, if you know me, Jesus is Lord, which means he loves that man, which means I need to love that man to love him enough to talk to him and talk about how much God loves him. So I began the conversation, as usual, and he opened right up and says, you know, I have the biggest hang-up. He said, I go to a church where he says there's a bunch of hypocrites. And he said, I mean, they say one thing and do another. And he said, it drives me to not even want to go there because of what I see. So I began to talk to him about the fact that if you know who Jesus is, it's your responsibility and your purpose to look to Jesus, not to people. You're looking to Jesus. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But the key factor was, you got to get your mind, you're going to find imperfection in every person on this earth if you look closely enough. And that's going to discourage you from following the Lord. You need to look to Jesus and look to him for how he wants you to live and not to people. So James is a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, writing to the 12 tribes. Look at verse 2 now, okay? Dear brothers and sisters, I love that phrase. That's old, by the way. But when I got saved, it was a new word to me because that's a relationship that you have. And I have wonderful brothers, two brothers and a sister, and love them very much. And so when I became born again and started following Jesus, the word brother and sister meant a lot because they were like-minded. They were born of the Spirit of God and had Jesus in their life. And we were spiritually related. Little humorous story. I was in the Navy when I asked Christ into my life. And they had a family day. Now, I'm on an aircraft carrier, you know, 3 football fields long, 3,000 men, airplanes land on top of it and everything. That's what I lived, where I lived in the Navy. And so they said, family day. So I went to my officer and I said, I don't have any of my family, they're out in Minnesota, but how about my Christian family? Now, it just happened to be the senior officer had a faith in Jesus, so he went along with it. He said, go ahead, ask anybody you want to ask. And so I started liking the beautiful lady that I've married. But we weren't engaged or anything, but we were on the campus of North Point or Zion. And so I said to her, I says, family day coming. You guys want to go for a cruise? A one-day cruise. We're going out to sea. The ship's going out. Airplanes are going to land on top. You're going to be able to see how everything works, you know, and all the rest. So I said, let's get some friends together. And I don't know if there's 10 of us and 8 of us. I don't remember how many, but she was there with us. And we went out to sea, and they had a chance to see how everything worked and all the rest. Well, that was good, and it was a fun thing. But they were like, to me, brothers and sisters. We were related because Jesus was real. And that's why I had them. So I had a whole new family there for a little while on the ship. Brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, oh dear, negative troubles. Who wants to talk about troubles? Consider it an opportunity. Here's the key, folks. If you can't get you anything else this morning, listen to what he's saying, what James is saying. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, come on. That takes a little more work than just looking at the natural, I'm going to tell you. Conflict is not fun. Conflict is everywhere at all times, no matter what you do. And so when that comes, when troubles come, Jesus wants us to say, look to me, and you'll find me in it. And when you find me in it, you're going to know me in a way that you've never known me before. That's the fact that makes this living for Jesus exciting. Because the early church of Jesus Christ, you read your Bible and even know history, persecution, they ran for their lives. Come on. They left everything. Peter the fisherman left his boats. Matthew, the tax collector, stopped collecting taxes. Luke was a physician, stopped being a doctor, and became a soul winner for Jesus Christ, left it all. You say, well, God's not calling me to do that. No, he isn't. But listen, James is saying to these people that are under persecution and having difficult times in their daily life, these tribes all over the world, listen, consider it joy. Consider it an opportunity for God for greater joy. Now, the challenge this morning is, are we doing that? Are we looking to the Lord when we have a difficult thing happening in our lives? A problem. It can be problems in marriage. It can be problems with children. It can be problems in community. It can be it's all over. They're everywhere. I believe Christians need to learn to face them. I don't believe they run from them. I believe they need to face them. I have a brother that is heavy into watching and studying politics. And if I mention just one word about something in the political world, don't go there. My blood pressure rises when we go there. So let's stay away from that. Let's not even talk about it, about the issue. Well, that's fine. That was glad of me because I'm not a politician. I don't know how to talk about it anyway. So that was fine. But the fact remains is, don't go there. You know, you can do that in these opportunities with conflict. I'm not going there. I'm not dealing with that. That's too difficult, too heavy, too much. I will not even go there. And yet I believe a Christian is a reality person who goes there with Jesus. He lives in you. You're part of him. He's part of you. So when no wonder the songwriter said, and he walks with me and talks with me, because he's there. So James is saying, listen, guys, you got difficulties, you got problems, but are you looking at it in the correct manner? Consider it joy that you're able to suffer for him. All right, let's look a little further. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Well, who came to church thinking about my endurance growing? I came to get blessed. I came to get lifted. I came to get strengthened. Well, if you look at this carefully, then you have an opportunity in that wherever you are in your walk, a chance to grow. And the thing about growing is it's easy to say, just, you know, how about this when you're a teenager? Grow up. Get a life, you know. Get it together, you know, that kind of thing. That's easy to say. But to do it is another thing. And James is always talking in this whole chapter, and you're going to study it all through James, about the practical experiences of walking with Jesus in this life. So when your faith is tested, it's an opportunity for you to grow. Now, I've discovered when I read that and many other occasions, there's a lot of people that aren't growing in their spiritual walk. They're not growing because they're not looking to Jesus. They're not putting Jesus first. They're not necessarily having values of spiritual things as the most important. You know, people in the world will say, when the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I mean, you're just a religious freak. I mean, don't get carried away with it. You're going way too far about this religious stuff. And I say to them, am I wrong and am I a fanatic because I love my wife? No. Am I ridiculously radical because I love my children with all of my heart? No. Then where are you getting off with the fact that there's a Jesus that loves us with an everlasting love, who lived on this earth to show us how to live, died on the cross to cleanse us by his blood for our sins, rose and conquered death and the grave, and has gone to prepare a place for you and for us, and I'm not going to follow a good God that's only then in turn pours out good for me in this life? Now, I get a little nervous sometimes when you hear statements that are so just plainly said, good for me, because our definition of good, every one of you, if I had you write it on a piece of paper, what's good? What would you call good? Well, sometimes good is somebody gives you a good sandwich or makes a good pie like my wife cooks for me only once in a while because it's fattening. But Sherry, I get it only once in a while. Now, she was my great help in the health world of hearts, physical hearts, and we got to know her there. But the fact remains is that if you can get this in your walk, that even children, When you do it God's way, when you follow Jesus, when you let Jesus be Lord of the problems as well as the joys, you'll discover something good out of it. That's what thrills me about this life. I started out at 44 years old with a heart attack in the hospital, and they told me I was going to die. I brought my family in from all over. My mother even came from Minnesota. He's going to die. He's had three heart attacks. He's not going to live. That was a few days ago. I'm a little bit older now. I want to admit it, but that's right. But somehow the Lord kept me on this earth. But the fact remains is I'm laying on the stretcher, all right, laying on the stretcher in the hospital dying. The doctor flat it out, just says you're going to die. I thought, well, that's real encouraging. But I know Jesus, so I'm just going to go to be with him. He doesn't know that. So I'm laying there, and they won't even let me lift my head to drink water. They give me a straw. And the nurse is assigned to me for this emergency time for whatever period. And I'm laying there, and the Lord says to me, talk to her about Jesus. I said, Lord, I'm tired, and I'm having a heart attack. I'm talking to God in my mind, right? I'm having a heart attack, and I'm tired. He said, talk to her about me. So I said, okay, Lord. So I said, you know, Jesus loves you. And I went on and on. She said, you're not one of them born agains, are you? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, my husband is one of them. And he's always talking about God and always talking about Jesus. And she says, he's just off the wall. So then I had a chance to talk a little more about Jesus with that dear lady. I took that as, thank you, Jesus. And then from that point on, all the time I was in the hospital, now listen, folks, I'm no different. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I know I've been taught the word. I know what the word says a little bit here and there. And I know that I'm supposed to preach it and teach it and all the rest. I know that. But beyond that, stepping outside the church, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm a Christian, and I'm following Jesus. And Jesus is coming for a people that have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And I was asked one time in one church, I was doing interims, that Reverend, they had a little knowledge of my background, they had my resume. Are you a hellfire and brimstone preacher? And I said to them, nope. So they wondered, uh-oh, what's going on next? I said, I'm a heaven preacher. I said, every plan that God has intended for his creation is to get them from here into everlasting life. That's why Jesus came. That's why he proved who he is. And that's how he still lives in our hearts and so on. So I'm a heaven preacher. But I also know that heaven is designed for man. Hell is designed for Lucifer and his fallen angels. Period. God is not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but that all, not some, all should come. So every time you look at somebody, look at them as Jesus loves them, and talk to them about this wonderful Jesus. Count it all joy and a great opportunity for you to grow. Grow in grace, Peter said, 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say grow in grace and have just more knowledge. It's grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's so important for us because we need to know him in such a way that we can help share him with others. Grow in the grace. Let's look at it a little further if we could. Troubles, what are you doing with your troubles in James verse 2? Let's go on further to a few other verses if we can quickly. Into it. Let's look at verses 5 through 8. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. That your faith is in God alone. Wisdom is the knowledge and the ability to explain and discover how to appropriate knowledge. So wisdom, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it to us generously, and he will do that. Don't waver, don't be a waver. For a person that is divided loyalties in and is an unsettled and wavering person of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from God. Their loyalties is divided between God and the world. They are unstable in everything they do. Straight shooting, isn't it? Don't waver in your faith. God hasn't changed. And it's a very important factor, in my opinion, is that when we so much must many times live by our moods, how we feel. We were looking at real estate in Connecticut, and the realtor was wanting an immediate response from a house that we walked through. How do you feel about this house? And I looked at her like, are you kidding me? I hardly got out the door, and you want me to tell you how I feel about this house? And she was really pressing to say, you know, trying to find out if we're interested or not. But if somebody says to you, what do you feel about God? Then we can share that God is good and that he's changed my life. And he wants to help us discover this in our life. Let's move on quickly. Let's look at verses 9 through 11. Believers who are poor, this is talking about the poor in the church, the believers, are to be lifted up, and the rich be let down. In other words, everybody is the same. That's what he's saying in the church. There's a church that I know of where a man in the church owns 13 or 14 McDonald's stores, is very wealthy. $1,000 is like a dollar to him. He's a wonderful Christian man. He doesn't flaunt it. He doesn't walk in with big signs, I'm a millionaire, whatsoever. He walks into the church with everybody else, worships and praises God, and a precious man. You'd never know until somebody told you that he was a millionaire, because he loves the Lord just like the person sitting next to him who doesn't have anything, because we're all equal in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We all belong. Listen, if we forget anything else this morning, when you walk out of here, you're a child. If you've given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you belong to him. He's your wonderful, loving Lord. I don't know if I've told you this, because sometimes I when I'm away a long time and then come back, I'm afraid I repeat myself. But in being in the Navy, I was in an airplane. We were flying to a school, a nuclear weapons school in Virginia. And just about maybe 8 or 10 of us in this little plane, just a curtain between us and the pilot. So we pulled the curtain back and talked to the pilot while we were flying. And it all of a sudden became very foggy. So foggy that I looked out the window and I said, where are we? I can't see anything. I see just like if you had painted the window white and you can't even see through it. So I said, how are you going to land this thing? I'm in here too, you know. How are you going to land this thing? I said, because you can't see anything. He says, see that little gauge right there? He says, there's a cross there. Don't cross hairs, but it's a cross. He says, now watch, when I turn the plane to the left, you'll see the wing leave the cross. And if you turn it to the right, you see the wing leave the other side. But if I keep my wings on the center of the cross, radar will bring me into a perfect landing. And I thought, wow, I got to remember that as long as I live. If I keep my eyes on the cross of Jesus Christ, you're going to make a perfect landing. Because you see, when you look at the cross, you know of love, you know of cleansing, you know of forgiveness, you know of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you keep your eyes on the cross and keep it clear that when you stumble and fall, you can get picked up again. Paul said these words in Galatians 2:20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. This is beautiful. I'm crucified. I died to the old self, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, and I love it's phrased, the faith of the Son of God. That almost builds me into looking about who Jesus is and who he claims to be and who he will be to us, the faith of Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's look on a little further, verses 16 through 18, because we're skipping over. So don't be misled by brothers and sisters. Wow, that's a statement. Don't be misled by brothers and sisters, because you're supposed to be keeping your eyes on Jesus. Whatever is good and perfect comes down from the Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or is a shifting shadow. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful to know that I can tell my grandchildren that Jesus loves them and they can discover his love just like I discovered his love. It's wonderful to know that Jesus will keep them because I know he'll keep me. He doesn't change. And that's wonderful. He is ever, ever loving for us and ever desiring to help us and chooses to help us. Let's look a little further, verses 20 to 27. Human anger does not produce righteousness. This is a very practical teaching. God does. So get rid of all filth and evil in your life. Now, that sounds like pretty straight stuff. Get rid of all evil. But it's important to grasp the fact that God is trying to speak to our hearts through his word, because you would think, theoretically, you'd say, wait a minute now. There can't be evil in us. We're cleansed by the blood. Well, we're cleansed by the blood when we ask for cleansing. But do you only take one shower in your life? Hope not. You need cleansing from time, sometimes day to day. When we say that with our bodies. But in our spiritual life, there are times in which we get on a trip. It's not a good trip. It's not a right trip. And so we have to be sensitive to it and get it out of our lives. It says get rid of. Yeah, get rid of in your life the evil in your lives and humbly accept what God has planted in your hearts. This is beautiful. If you have asked Jesus Christ into your life, God has planted divine presence in your life. You walk with him. When you don't feel like it, you walk with him. When you feel like it, you walk with him. I get very concerned by my Christian friends sometimes when they seemingly are on a trip most of the time and depressed, because they haven't caught a hold of the reality that they're redeemed and they need to start thanking him and praising him for who Jesus is and what he's done in your life. Glory to God. He's changed our lives. Now, we've had conflict in our lives and battled through public life and all the rest, but I am discovering more and more that Jesus becomes more precious as we keep on keeping him first in our lives. So don't listen to the word. But don't just listen to God's word, but you must do what it says. Be a doer of the word of God. Otherwise, you're only floating and fooling yourselves. I'm reminded of a teacher that was in college and talked about the mirror, because when he got up in the morning, he forgot to look in the mirror, or if he did, he didn't see what he should have saw to get ready to go do the teaching. So he walks into the class. Now, today it wouldn't be that funny, because people have their hair the way he had his hair, only it wasn't the way we had their hair then. You combed your hair then, you know? Some folks I think I look like they forgot to comb it, and they really did comb it, but it didn't look like they combed it. Well, this guy came into class, and we are all students sitting there, right? He's a professor, and we all started laughing because his hair is sticking straight up, and you know he didn't look in the mirror, because if he looked in the mirror, he would have seen it. But if he did look in the mirror, he didn't see it. So he didn't look fast enough. He must have flew by the mirror, right? So he didn't look at it enough. Well, some people may look in the natural at the mirror too long. But there's a wonderful looking into Jesus that is so vitally important for our lives. I'm going to give you this scripture, and I'm not even conscious of time here. But I want to give you this last verse, Hebrews chapter 12. You're going to write it down. A verse of scripture that is vitally important for your Christian walk. As the worship team comes to get ready to help us close this service. Hebrews 12:2. Write it down, and I hope you'll read the whole chapter. It's good for you, but listen to this. Looking unto Jesus. Remember now, we're looking toward Jesus for every encounter in our life. looking unto Jesus, the author. Praise God, he's the author, the Savior, and the finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher of our faith. The one that began us when we began our walk with him, we want him to continue. We want to keep on looking unto Jesus, see? We want to keep on looking to him to help us build our lives around him. You build your life around Jesus Christ, and you're going to discover life more abundantly. You're going to discover the words that Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He loves you and cares for you and cares for where you're at. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Listen to this now. For the joy that was set before him. Do you understand this morning, this moment, you are the joy that was set before him? You know that? When Jesus faced the cross, he died on the cross for your sins and mine. You're his joy. Wow! That thrills my soul to think that this wonderful Jesus who did what he did 2,000 years ago still works today, and that you're chosen by him who for the joy that was set before him, you're his joy. He endured the suffering, suffered on the cross, despised the shame, and listen to this now, and is sit down on the right hand of God, the throne of God. Get this last point as we close. The person that lived in a kingdom. No, we don't live in a kingdom, but in kingdoms. Persons in Jesus' day and their day that lived in kingdoms had a right-hand man. You ever heard of that? He's my right-hand man, or she's my right-hand girl. Right hand. They had the authority from the king to operate the kingdom. Do you get that? The one that sat at the right hand of the King of Kings had the authority to run the kingdom. Jesus, our wonderful Jesus, is running the kingdom. I put my life in his hands any day, any moment. I need him every moment of my life. He's running the kingdom. He's not only the author of my faith, but he is seated next to the throne of God and running his kingdom for you and me. He did it all for us. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? I'm going to make one quote to you as we are in meditation this morning. Many of you have heard of Max Lucado, who has written many books. This book that he wrote was Grace for the Moment. I want to read this, what he said, statement. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. Then he went on to say, I choose, this is where we're at, folks. This is what you do with your life as you live moment by moment. I choose love. Today, I will love God. And I will love what he loves. That means you and me, folks. We're going to love him because he loves us and love each other. If you're having a problem with your walk with the Lord, conflicts are overwhelming you rather than growing in them. It could be the time for you to make a new commitment to him. A time in which you can say, Lord, I need to lay all this at your feet. I need this problem, whether it's at work, this problem in my family, this problem with my children, this problem with my late neighbors, this problem with whoever, I need to bring it to you and look to you for the opportunity to discover you and discover how you want me to walk through this with your hand on my life. If you're having problems with conflict in your life and you need prayer, just raise your hand where you are. I'll be glad to pray for you. Anyone like that? God bless you. Anyone else? All right, let's stand together, and the worship team is going to lead us in a couple of choruses, and then we'll close together in prayer. I'd like you to take the hand of somebody nearby, and I'm going to ask my wife if she'd come up and close in prayer. I should have mentioned her a little more. Come on up and close in prayer here with me, please. And
Father, we thank you today that we are grateful that we are in your house. We're in your sanctuary, Lord, where you do dwell. And we thank you for your presence here today. We're glad that you inhabit the praises of your people. And we thank you, dear Lord, for your word today that is alive within our hearts. We pray that as we have heard, that we will not just hear the word, but we will be doers of your word. And that we would not just simply go through trials and testings and conflicts, because they come to everyone. We are not exempt from them. But that we would look to you as an opportunity, Lord, for you to work in our lives and help us to grow in those experiences. We thank you, Lord, that you are our Lord today. We thank you that you have redeemed us by your precious blood, and we belong to you. We pray your blessing upon every person here today, young and older, and we pray as we depart from each other that we will not depart from your presence. Jesus. Bring us back again at the appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I just want to mention to you that we had the privilege yesterday of going to a movie called God Is Not Dead 2. I have to say this with all of the truth that I know. You need to grab a hold of somebody that doesn't know the Lord and take them to that movie. It is the most precious thing to see how God uses this movie to prove the reality of Jesus and the reality of Jesus coming into lives. It will minister to your unbelieving friends. So do it if you can. I don't know how long it's around. I'm not a movie person. But I went and I said to myself, that every Christian needs to bring at least one person that doesn't know the Lord to that film. Designed to reach the lost. All right. Brother, you want to close?
Praise God. Praise God. Were you treated? Was the Holy Spirit present in your life? Were you convicted? I didn't hear you. Amen. Amen. I'm up here just laughing and praising God. I've gone through so many of the things that he talked about, and it makes so much sense the way he breaks it down. And I'm sure that you are blessed. And if you got any socks left on your feet, I mean, this was just pure dessert. I mean, we have a little bit of snacks outside for you as we break. But this was a feast here. I think you need to give God and the Holy Spirit and Pastor a hand again. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. It was a blessing. Father, again, we're just thankful to be in your presence, Lord God. And just help us to remember those who ministered to us today, Father. Help us to just lift them up, Lord, as they seek a place in Connecticut, Lord God. Give them safe travels, Father. Give them wisdom, Father. And go before them, O Lord God, and minister to, Father, the agents who are going to be working on their behalf, Father, and to give them the right property, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, for bringing them into our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen.